going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you're a busy single professional, you know how hard it is to find a date. You spend half of your time or even more at the office. And often the only people you really have a chance to interact with well are your coworkers. But dating a coworker is often considered taboo, off limits. Don't even think about it. But now Airbnb, Facebook, and Google are saying you can ask your coworker out on a date. What? Really? Well, there are restrictions. But what do you think about that? Good idea? Bad idea? We're asking you, and we're asking some experts tonight. John Talley is a human resources professional, and Tanya Sloans is an ethics attorney and career maximization strategist. But she's an attorney, so she's probably going to say don't do it anyway, because you can get in trouble. But we're going to talk about that anyway. I want to know what you think. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Tanya, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank
Good.
You.
Glad to have you here. And of course, Sean, the troublemaker, you are also the human resources troublemaker is in the house.
Hello, DMV, and don't pay attention to Harold.
That's right.
Unless he says good stuff.
Yeah, well, we're going to say a lot of good stuff tonight because, look, this is what these companies are saying. Because you have people who spend so many hours, professionals, at their expansive compounds and campuses, and there are literally hundreds, even thousands of people that you are constantly working with. You don't have a social life. And so you may think about maybe you want to ask that guy or gal out on the job, but it has historically not been the best way to find a date. But now they're saying you can ask once, just once. And if that person says no, then it's over. Everybody's safe. You leave him or her alone and go on about your business and do your work. Sean, good idea or bad idea? What do you think?
Bad, bad, bad idea.
Why?
It's a bad idea for a couple of different reasons. The first is that from an interpersonal standpoint, you just don't need to have your drama where you work. So every relationship is going to have good and bad to it, and you're going to be in a situation when you bring that to work with you. The other reason why it's bad is because although the intention seems to make sense from a company standpoint, because the letter of the law says that it has to be unwelcome physical contact. And how do you get to find out that something's unwelcome? Well, you ask, and if they say no, then obviously it's unwelcome. But where it's short-sighted, and I think that organizations may run into trouble, is you don't know what a person has been through. So what if five different guys ask the same woman out on the same day? Well, I only asked her one time, but if that person gets hit on five times in one day, that's a hostile work environment. So it's really just a bad situation. So what I say is, if you're really having trouble finding a date and you want to talk to somebody at work, ask them to set them up with your sister or something like that. Just don't deal with it. It's a bad thing.
Find somebody after Communion Sunday.
There you go.
what do you think about that, Tanya?
Well, you know, as a lawyer for many, many years, I've often told people that just because the law allows you to do something doesn't mean it's a good idea to do it. I think it's absolutely best practice to keep dating out of the workplace.
Why is that? Why?
Well, after all, you have to keep in mind why you work. You work to go to help an organization meet its mission to provide a product or a service in exchange for compensation. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. That's the priority. The priority is not to have your romantic life satisfied or stimulated. Plain and simple.
But wait a minute. Now, you know that for many, many years, many men and many women they meet their mates. They met their mates at work, in the office, and happily ever after when it comes to marriage and relationships. So these companies are just applying some guidelines to make these things easier. Do you think that these so-called guidelines are actually to have them avoid legal trouble?
Absolutely. And the thing about it is their intentions might be okay. So what you're thinking of, and if you think about the Me Too movement and everything that surrounds that, there are a lot of males, for example, and I know it can go with females as well, but there are a lot of males out there that are wandering around thinking, what is it okay for me to do? And so they don't understand, okay, where's the line? What line do I not cross? And so I think the intention of this is for companies to give some of these people out there the opportunity to know, how far can I go until I'm in trouble? Where's the line that I don't cross? So again, as I'm saying, the intention is okay. But at the end of the day, don't piggyback on the previous comment. You know, I got a lot of friends that go to the gym, they go to the grocery store, and female friends that'll tell me all the time, they hate when they're at the gym and somebody hits on them. Mm-hmm. They hate being at the store and somebody hits on them. And so I think, and again, I preface this by saying that I know it can go both ways, female to male as well, and even same sex. But the lion's share of this is going to be male to female. And I think one of the things that men need to understand is, everywhere isn't a place that's okay for you to be hitting on a woman. Maybe there might be a woman or two that's okay with it, but you really should go into the situation assuming that a woman is there to do her job.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about some big tech companies that have instituted some guidelines that say, yeah, you can ask your coworker out one time, just once. And if he or she says no, then it's over. No harm, no foul. What do you think about that? Good idea, bad idea? Give us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jock calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
I will tell you, I made the mistake of dating a young lady on the job. It's been 30 years ago, though, before I got married. I didn't want to make sure I say that out loud. And by the time we got to work the next morning, she beat me to work, and she told everybody on the job, when I got to work, everybody was smiling and laughing and giggling at me, and I had no clue until about 45 minutes later. But she did give me good reviews.
My man, Jack.
Okay. Well, hence the name. Yes.
You know I got to say that. You know, but it was kind of embarrassing.
So what was the mistake, though?
The mistake was that, you know, she told everybody, and there was another woman that I had my eyes on, and now I couldn't go to that one because I didn't, you know, went out with this one and spent the night at her house. You know?
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, but I know. I was single then, man. I could do that.
Yeah. Have you had this conversation with your wife? Does she know about this?
Well, she probably knows she that.
Well, John, I'm glad to say that you are happily married, and that, you know, that let's hope you're happily married after this conversation. What do you think about that, Tanya?
Well, I'm glad Jack brought up that scenario, because that's a perfect example of how your dating life can really negatively impact your reputation in the workplace, especially if you're someone like many of the women that I know. We go to work wanting to establish a strong reputation, be promoted, receive raises. And it's more difficult to do that if you have someone who's telling your business, and specifically business that is not work related and could indeed be appropriate. I'm down with Jock. It's a mistake to do that kind of thing at work.
Okay. Jock, thank you so much, and thank you for your call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gabrielle calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was actually talking about the same subject at work today, so it's amazing that you guys are on this topic. I'm recently divorced. I work in a law firm. I'm recently divorced, and there's another gentleman at the firm that's also recently divorced. And he's been pushing me to go out on dates with him. He's 24 years older than me. He's 2 years younger than my father. Mm. And it's like, if I reject him the wrong way, it could potentially hurt me at the job because he's been there forever. Everybody likes him, you know, and he could smear me and, you know, cause me to have some sort of issue. So to me, it's like it really should not be allowed at all.
What do you think she should do, Sean?
Well, it's easy for me to not be a part of it and make this suggestion, so I'll preface by saying that. But I personally believe that we always have to have an eye on the people that come after us. So, you know, I'm always going to be the radical. I'm always going to be the revolutionary. And you know what? I'm going to say something about this. And again, I think you're right in terms of you can decide diplomatically how you reject this guy, but you have rights as well. And if it means that you have to, you know, rattle a few cages and that's what happens, and maybe you might get hurt. And I'll be honest, maybe it will affect your career, but the woman that comes behind you won't have to deal with that. And so I just personally believe that we have to make things better for the people that come behind us. And I know it's easy to say that I'm not in that situation, but that's always my advice to everyone.
What do you think, Tanya? Could she, and this is, you know, hindsight, because she says she's recently divorced, he's recently divorced, so that's not the secret. Is it possible for her to dodge or obfuscate by saying, well, I'm seeing someone? Is that a good defensive move?
Well, I would like to think that it would be a good defensive move, but it's hard to say because you don't know the experience of the person on the other end. Mm-hmm. That gentleman may think that her just brushing him off one time is really not no. It's just her expressing a desire to be pursued further. Or maybe he's someone
who's hard
just,
to get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she just is playing hard to get, but I should continue on and on. But the most disturbing thing about what she says is that this is taking place in a law firm, in an environment where I would assume that they all have a consciousness of what the law is with regard to hostile workplace, sexual harassment, and all those things. It's so common for individuals to even know the law, but still not abide by it.
As a man, I don't want to be condescending here, but I do want women to understand that there is no time in the history of this country that voices of women have been heard more than right now. And so if there were ever a time that a woman should feel comfortable and confident in saying, look, you know, these are my rights and you're not going to infringe upon them, now is that time.
Something to think about, Gabrielle. Good luck to you. Thank you so much for talking to us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about asking your coworker on a date. We have a couple of high-tech companies, Google, Facebook, Airbnb, that are saying it's okay to ask once. And if you get a no, stop asking. What do you think? Good idea or bad idea? Vic, calling from Maryland. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a reasonable and logical idea. We do want to, you know, acknowledge that I will acknowledge that it is a workplace. It's a place of professionalism. So the main idea is to come to work and to be excellent, to be compliant, and to bring a benefit to the company or to the organization. But we're human beings. And it goes both ways. Men are attracted to women. Women are attracted to men. And it could come up where there's a conversation or there is a incident, or not necessarily a negative incident, where a man may ask a woman out. But if she says no, I think that's all. It's also logical for him to accept that she said no and let it be that, because his main purpose is to come to work and be a professional. If you can date outside of work, and you can have a social life outside of work, you don't have to date somebody at your job. And when that becomes the main purpose of you trying to date or, you know, to garner the attention of more women at your job, then that becomes a problem as you're a professional, because then I cannot assume as a supervisor that you are here for the best interest of the company.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vic. Not to mention, as you said, you know, earlier, Sean, even if the person that you ask out says yes, and then as it relates to these so-called, you know, guidelines, what if she says, you ask her again after that first date, and then she says no? So is that the second ask?
Exactly.
Or is that the ask 2.0? I don't, you know, it really makes the job of HR professionals really, really dicey.
Here's another way to think about it, for the askers out there. A lot of times people come to me asking me about, okay, what if somebody files a harassment claim against me? It's their word against mine, right? And what I say is you should never leave it up to one person's word against yours, because you always have your reputation. So if you're known for this guy being this guy going around asking people out, even if it's just once, that's going to come up in an investigation. But if you're the person that, you know what, this guy is really professional, he really even talks about anything social, you know, all that follows you. Your reputation follows you. So you got to think about that, the impression that you want to leave.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ramon calling from Waldorf. We're going to talk to Tanya calling from Oxon Hill. Sid calling from Virginia. If you're having difficulty getting through, and I'm sure you are, a lot of people want to get in on this conversation, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we really have a sticky wicket to talk about. We're talking about dating on the job. If your job allowed you to ask a coworker out on a date once, would you do it? If it was a policy, a company policy, a guideline even that said it's okay if you ask Sheila in the other cubicle, or if Dan in the finance department asks the customer service lady, let's go out for drinks, and it was okay, would you do it? Do you think it's a good idea? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. My guests are Sean Talley, human resources professional, and Tanya Sloan. She is an ethics attorney, and career maximization strategist. So, back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Tanya. Hey, Tanya, calling from Oxon Hill.
Okay,
what's
hi,
on your mind?
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I disagree with it totally. And the reason why I think work should be work, personal should be personal. I do not agree with dating a coworker, because I've done it, and it, even though we're not together, it makes it very uncomfortable for me every day, seeing that person every day, knowing that we broke up on bad terms. It makes the working environment like a hostile work environment. Even though we're very cordial about it, it still makes it very uncomfortable. So I don't think that that's a good idea for coworkers today, coworkers. There are enough people out here in the world that you can find somebody on the bus or on the metro or in church or wherever. But the workplace, I think it should be off limits for romance, period. Okay. That's my discussion.
Thank you so much, Tanya. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Raymond calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'd like to say, first of all, I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I totally disagree with what the young lady said. I met my wife for 17 years on the job. And we have to think, a lot of people today spend a lot of time at their job more so than home. And, I mean, men and women, or even same-sex, you're going to find out that if this person may be for me, may not be for me. And to be honest, if my wife, 17 years, had not asked me out while we were working, I wouldn't have the beautiful life that I have now and the children that I have now.
So here's the question. Where did you work, or what kind of job was it?
We both worked at the time. It was over, maybe 25 years ago. We worked at a security company.
Okay. So what was your job and what was hers?
We were both in school. And we were both security guards at the time.
I see. So you were not her boss. She was not yours.
No.
Okay.
We were equals.
Okay.
Co-workers.
So here's,
it was not a power dynamic.
Yeah. So I'm glad, you know, I'm really, really glad that it worked out, you know, for you. And certainly, you know, after, you know, I salute your 17 years of marriage and hopefully successful parenting. But before I let you go, so what about that, Sean? Because I guess here's the thing that I find, you know, interesting. It seems to me, and Raymond said it, there was no unequal power dynamic. We already know that it's not only ethically wrong for a supervisor to ask a subordinate out. But here's the question. Is it just as wrong? Can you get in as much trouble if a subordinate asks a supervisor out?
Well, no, because the supervisor, from a legal standpoint, and my colleague can expand on that a little more later, but from a legal standpoint, the supervisor's action be co-signed by the company, so to say. So it's not just that power dynamic. It's that the supervisor was put into a position of leadership and authority by the organization, and as such, their behavior is like I said, co-signed. So it means that whatever a supervisor is doing, the company is okay with it. So when you put a person in a leadership role at an organization, if they're sexually harassing someone, if they're discriminating against them, you put them in that position of authority. And so it's your job as an organization to make sure that you know what they're up to. Now, kind of going back to Raymond's point, and, you know, obviously we all want to get where you are, Raymond. That's great to hear. And our advice is certainly intended kind of for the masses. And I definitely know that there'll certainly be people that, you know, kind of buck the trend and it works out for them. And I know many people that have met at work. But just in terms of other things to think about, and again, I'm speaking to the men out there, for example, even if you do have a woman that is friendly to your advances, one of the things that we can't ignore, some of the complexities and just crap about office politics, it's very difficult for women to be perceived all the time, especially an attractive one, to be perceived as a worker. It's so easy that this woman comes in and everybody's eyeballing her. If you really care about that woman, in my opinion, you don't even want it out there that she's, you know, dating and thinking about this and thinking about that. You want to help her in her career as much as you can, and you don't want people thinking about, okay, he's the lucky guy that got with her. Unfortunately, I've just seen, you know, literally from entry level up to the C-suite, sometimes it's just a locker room, and it's sad. And I think that most men, if they're honest with themselves, it's a dynamic they don't have to think about. And so for me, I've always, you know, erred on the side of caution. I don't want a woman's reputation being anything other than what their professionalism is, what their intelligence is, what their performance is.
What do you think about what Raymond was sharing with us, Tony?
Well, I am really happy for Raymond. I think that it's a good thing that he was dating his peer. Oftentimes in scenarios where individuals are peers, there is not as much risk for abuse as there is when there is someone dating someone in their chain of management. When there's a power dynamic at play, that's when we tend to see more instances of abuse. But even in those instances where peers are dating, there can still be abuse. There can still be an offense or a breaking of the company policy. There can still be liability that the organization is susceptible to, for example, for not protecting one of the peers from some level of abuse in the workplace. So I'm excited to hear that Raymond has such an awesome story, but that's just not always the case.
Well, Raymond, we certainly salute you. And again, your 17 successful years of marriage, and I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'd want to go back to that question that I asked earlier about a subordinate asking the boss out. This has nothing to do with necessarily the guidelines. I'm talking about the, you know, the legal and ethical ramifications of that. As I said, we know if a boss asks you out, okay, that's just, don't even think about it. But what if a subordinate asks the boss out?
A subordinate asking a boss out could still be problematic because of the power dynamic. So say, for example, that the subordinate asks the boss out and the boss says no. Mm-hmm. And then 3 months later, that subordinate has a performance review where he or she gets a poor performance rating. How easy would it be for the subordinate to claim that the boss was treating him or her unfairly simply because they asked him or her out on a date? That power dynamic is still at play and just creates a risky environment. So whether it's the boss asking the subordinate out or the subordinate asking the boss out, in my opinion, it's just not a good idea.
Going back specifically to what you were saying, also with the subordinate to the boss, so she talked about what if she says no, what if the boss says no. So what if the boss actually says yes and the relationship is entered into by both sides, totally okay. Well, you can also create a liability from your organization because there can be a perception of favoritism that happens to that person in that relationship. So it's okay, it seems like this person gets, you know, the better assignments than I do because she's in a relationship with the boss. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, it's just so at the end of the day, no, you can't ask your boss out.
Don't ask the boss out. No matter how cute he or she is, just don't do it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, here's one of the things that that comes to mind about this asking as it relates to these guidelines and the like. Is the asking, even if there are guidelines that say you can, and you as a, let's take it, you know, the guy, a man asking a woman out, the guidelines say I can, I'm only going to ask once, I'm going to be civil and respectful when I ask. But if she says no, is that still considered a sexual advance?
Yes.
Why is it considered a sexual advance?
Well, it's considered sexual attention, which would be loosely defined as an advance. But see, remember, understanding the letter of the law, you're kind of allowed one, you know, again, and that's where this is coming from.
Until it's unwelcome,
because you don't know it's unwelcome in certain cases until you try. And so, again, and I've advised many people over the years on this, and, you know, the advice shouldn't necessarily be, okay, I'm allowed to ask one out. And what scares me for these companies by opening up this door is you don't know how a person's going to ask someone out. You don't know if they're doing it, licking their lips and giving them elevator eyes, or you have elevator eyes going up and down.
I'm not familiar with that.
Looking up and down.
Okay, wow.
But yeah, so you don't know how they're doing this. And so if they feel that they have some, you know, blanket approval to be able to ask a person out, you know, and the crazy thing for me is, you know, especially to the fellas out there, you know, step your game up. You should know when a woman is interested in you and you are not.
But it shouldn't matter, because if she's interested and she's on the job, you're suggesting don't do it.
Don't do it.
So it doesn't matter whether she appears to be interested or not.
Ask her if she got a sister or a friend.
Who works in the cafeteria then?
There you go.
In another company.
There you go.
That's good.
So go ahead, Tony.
Well, You know, I have to say that I really love being a woman. I think we are some of the most powerful creatures on earth.
Hallelujah.
But I can't ignore the fact that women have an emotional state of being that some men can't relate to.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that even the most respectful ask could be interpreted by a particular woman as making her feel uncomfortable, making her feel awkward.
So let me stop you there because now we have these, you know, for the sake of this discussion, we have these rules. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the rules. And I come and I say, hey, Tanya, let's go out for drinks. Now you're uncomfortable. But my argument is, okay, you can say no, but now you're mad, you're uncomfortable, you go running to Sean, you know, the senior vice president and, you know, at the widget company. And my defense is, well, the rules said I can ask.
The rules don't necessarily handle the emotional aspect. The rules don't have the ability to foreclose there being abuse, period. Even though these big companies are allowing one ask, what if it's the wrong kind of ask? Mm-hmm. What if it's a very overtly sexual, offensive ask?
And even if it's not, like Sean said, it still could be interpreted as a sexual advance.
Exactly. So you're talking about something. Now, there is something called the reasonable person standard. So what that means, and we can come back on that.
I need to take a break, mm-hmm. but when we come back, I need to write that down. The reasonable person, what's that called?
Reasonable person standard.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes to dating, who is reasonable? Don't answer that. I don't want to get you in trouble at home. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joyce calling from Virginia. We're going to talk to you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about asking your coworker out on a date. If your company said you can get one ask, would you do it? Do you think it's a good idea? Let's talk to Joyce. Joyce calling from Virginia. Joyce, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Joyce, are you there?
Date. Yeah, anyone on the job? I had a girlfriend that was so wrapped up in this guy on the job until she couldn't even see straight. And when he dumped her, she ended up having a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, she resigned from the job because she just couldn't handle it any longer. So I just think that it's a terrible idea to even get involved with anyone on the job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Joyce, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Before the break, Sean, you were talking about, what was that thing you called reasonable what now?
The reasonable person standard. It actually started off as the reasonable woman standard, but then it was updated to the reasonable person standard.
What is a reasonable person standard?
In basic terms, what it relates to is, would a reasonable person find the offense, the comment, the question, the ask out, would a reasonable person find this to be offensive? So it's when you hear people say, hey, well, I said hi to a woman and she's saying it was sexual harassment, that's not a real thing. That's a straw man that people create that doesn't exist because of the reasonable person standard. It's not considered legitimate unless it crosses that threshold. So the reason why I advise against it is for a simple reason, and I think we've showed here through the course of this evening that this is all very nebulous. It's all very messy. It's murky. There isn't something specific that I can tell you is okay. There isn't something specific that I can tell you isn't okay. And I've taught for many, many years, 15 years, I've given classes on sexual harassment and workplace discrimination. And oftentimes I'll get typically males that'll kind of just corner me. and I'll try to do the dance of not trying to give a specific answer, but they'll corner me and they'll say, well, what things can I say that are okay? Because, and that's really what these rules are about. They're really trying to tell guys what are okay, and I'll tell them this is the reality of dating in the workplace, and this relates to the comments earlier about different emotional states of men and women. The fact is this: two guys can say the same exact thing to the same exact woman, and to one guy saying it, it's flattering, and one guy saying it, it's creepy. And there is no rule. There is nothing I can tell you that makes it flattering or nothing that makes it creepy. But as you can see, she's shaking her head. And I guarantee you every woman listening is shaking their head. That's how it is.
Is that true, Tonya?
Yes, that's very true. And Sean is correct. There is something called the reasonable person standard. But keep in mind that when we talk about sexual harassment, discrimination, all these things are really legislated at the state level. The Me Too movement really became hot and gained traction in 2017, but most states haven't updated their laws so that it appropriately reflects the reasonable person standard in terms of sexual harassment or otherwise. So we're all still just wondering what the real standard is, especially and even think about how dating has changed nowadays. Now we have apps where you swiping a certain direction means one thing.
Yeah. So if we accept what Tonya and Sean say as gospel, why are these companies doing this?
Why are they? Well, I think that these companies now, and this was just a little theory that I was thinking of as I was on my way in here. Now, you mentioned these tech companies, mm-hmm. and typically these tech companies tend to be very male-dominated, mm-hmm. and they tend to be, and I'm going to give you a very sweeping generalization that's probably stereotypical, but, you know, a lot of these IT guys probably haven't had that many dates.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I suspect is, you know, these companies are probably bowing to some sort of pressure within their own rank and file of, again, saying, hey, what's okay for us to do and not do? And again, as I've told you before, you know, this is a very, very slippery slope. It's murky water to deal with. And again, you know, again, you're going to have the Raymonds of the world where everything works out great.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, Raymond didn't do anything.
Yeah,
Raymond was just standing
true.
There looking muscular and handsome.
There you go.
and here comes, you know, somebody else, you know, and says, hey, you know, so he, you know, he dodged a bullet.
But guys out there that are listening, and if you think I'm kidding here, you know, do your own informal probe here with the women, you know, and I'll say this again, two guys can say the same exact words to the same exact woman, and to one guy can be creepy and the other guy can be flattering. Ask the people you know and they'll confirm that.
How do you believe, Tonya, that state legislatures and even companies should deal with these ever-changing 24/7 workplaces? Because when Raymond said he's been married for 17 years, and he worked for a security company, and this was actually 25 years ago. But as Sean said, we're talking high tech companies, and even Tinder has the dating company also has, I think, a similar policy.
Mm-hmm.
But we are talking, let's take out the nerd not having any dates things, but we are talking about a high percentage of very young people who are socially active, intellectually active, but who spend not half of their time, but they spend most of their time at work.
Well, you know, state legislatures have a really difficult job when it comes to handling this issue. I think it's going to be really tough for them to craft specific legislation that addresses all the possibilities of outcomes, negative outcomes in the workplace. But the one thing I think every state legislature can do that's going to benefit every workplace is require workplaces, whether you're for-profit, non-profit, government, require them to have systems and processes in place in the organization that allow employees to know what to do when they feel harassed or uncomfortable, and methodology for handling disputes that come about in these workplace relationships. Yeah. Sometimes individuals don't even know how to handle a difficulty they're having if they're dating someone and it goes bad. Sometimes employees don't know what to do if they themselves feel sexually harassed. But every state can put in place legislation that requires every workplace to both have a process and procedure in place and to communicate notice to that to their employees.
Sean, I'll let you have the last word. It's all about leadership. And I say leadership, I can say personally, I have been doing this work for about 20 years. And in the 20 years I've been in several Fortune 500 companies, I can say maybe I've dealt with five harassment complaints in my entire career. Because I've always pushed and made sure that the leadership reflects a certain level of intolerance toward a certain type of behavior. And so that's what these companies are attempting to manufacture with these rules. And it might work, but what really works is leadership. And those rules are not going to be able to take the place of actual leadership.
Well, we will continue to watch these companies and see how these things happen. In the interim, like I said, you know, ask somebody out after church. Don't spend so much time at work. Get out, meet people. I want to thank both of you for participating in this conversation, Sean Talley and Tanya Sloans. I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 12th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.